Well, good morning, church family. I'm not going. I feel like that sometimes too. I said this already, but I really did miss gathering with you guys last week and in our Hope communities throughout the week. I love how God has put together the family here. And those of you who, if you're a guest with us, one, thank you for coming and being a part with us this morning. I hope that today you're encouraged, challenged, and if you have any questions about our church family, we'd love to answer those for you. So, and I'd love to get a chance to meet you before you go. So thank you for being here this morning, church, and we're excited to report the things that the Lord has done over the past couple weeks in Uganda. And I'll say this, I'm spoiled now. So you guys know that I take a lot of mission trips throughout the year. And I'm convinced that I'm not going to take any more unless Hope Valley Church people go with me, because it was really awesome. I mean, I love going and being on mission around the world, but it's even more fun when I have my church family with me. And so having Penny and Logan and Aaron was just so cool to have them with us this trip. And so that's the new rule. No more trips unless Hope Valley is going with us. So anyway, I want you guys to come on up. Logan, you come on up. Penny. Aaron couldn't be here this morning. Bless her heart. She worked all 2 weeks in the trip, flew 24, 48 hours home, and then started work this morning. So you guys pray for her. We're jet lagging a little bit, but that's okay. And pray for the patients that she has to see. So anyway, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get started, and I'm going to have, what I asked these guys to do is to share with you, some things that stood out to them during the trip, maybe some things that the Lord showed them or some things that that really get pressed on their heart while they were there. So we've spent the past 10, 11 days on mission in Uganda, East Africa. Uganda is a very poor nation in East Africa.
That's okay.
Not that one. We'll get to that in a minute. But you're going to see pictures, you're going to see videos of things, of people there and that we encountered. Also, the church that we helped plant last year, we got to visit with them and worship with them, and we'll see a report from them as well. But I want to let Logan and Penny get us started off with just some things that the Lord showed them while during the trip. So, go ahead, Logan. You want to use a... Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Oh, no. Okay. So, hey, everybody. It's nice to be back. It was a long flight over there and definitely a long flight back, but it's nice to be back. This is my first missions trip, actually. First time on a plane. First time sharing the gospel overseas. First time trying goat, I think, too. There's a lot of firsts on this trip.
The other way.
There was definitely a lot of stuff that stood out to me on this trip, but there were a couple things I want to talk about. The first one is the welcomes that we received, like, every day. So we take the bus drive to different villages, we leave the guest house, and we go to different villages, and we get there, and everybody would already be there. The, what was it called, the mobilization team, is that what we called it? We'd go out the night before, and they'd put everything together for us, and we just have to show up and do what we did. But we'd get there, and our bus would pull in, and we'd park, and they'd all just crowd around the bus. And they'd be doing their war cry, or we can call it a war cry.
Yeah.
Sounded almost exactly like that, actually. But they'd be surrounding the bus, and it'd actually be kind of hard for us to get out of the bus. And it was nice to see, like they want to see us. Because some of those villages have never seen white people before. So, or was it Mzungu, right?
Mzungu, yeah.
Mzungu was what we were called all week. But it was like they wanted to see us, and they want to hear. Like, the way that they wanted to receive was crazy, because like when we'd be out there, and the first person would share the testimony or first person would share the gospel when we get out there, and we'd already have like 20 people come up and want to get saved before we even started the clinics, started sharing the gospel. So is the, yeah. I mean, that's all the people that were lined up waiting for the clinic. Some days we had over, the biggest day was like 560, I think, patients that we saw in one day. And I mean, we saw 2,000, over 2,500 patients, 2,400 patients, and 560 some of them were saved.
Amen.
And it was really nice to see. The first 2 days of the trip, I went to the schools, and that was, I mean, that's my comfort zone. I liked being in the schools and playing with the kids. But the third day was my first time sharing the gospel. So I get in there and I get my station set up, and Pastor Jared helps me on the first two, and none of those helped because we just got a Muslim who didn't want to be saved and just a lady who didn't want to be saved. So I didn't really understand, like, okay, this is what I need to say to save people, right? And so one of the ladies on our trip, Lily Bass, she came over and helped me, and we sort of tag-teamed the stations together when we had gospel. And I guess it was the first two people we had were two ladies that came from two separate stations and came to our station together. So we were sharing the gospel to two different people, and both of them wanted to be saved. So we prayed over them, and they accepted the Lord, and that sort of gave me a boost of confidence to go through the rest of the week and share the gospel and just do all the stuff that I was going to do. It was fun. I love being on the trip. Did the video come through? It didn't. Okay. Well, we had a video. It's fine. We had a video of them singing and welcoming us when we first got there, but we don't have that. So
thanks, Logan. Amen. Thank you, man.
So, would you do it again?
Yes, I will definitely do it again. Hopefully next year.
Good morning. I am definitely jet lagged, so I apologize. I came home to four kids ready to see their mama. So Marley and I last night, she had sent me we use Alexa to commute. She can send me texts through Alexa. And I get one on the way home that says, "Mommy, I love you and I miss you and I cannot wait to snuggle and read a book." So I think it was probably 7 o'clock last night, and I was trying to read her this book, and it was like, I can finish this. So the first thing I want to say, I don't know, as we were worshiping, you know, and just trying to process through the long plane ride home what I truly wanted to just bring home and just share with you all. When we were singing the song, "I don't want to," you're welcome. Turn the microphone closer so they can hear you. But it is, oh, how he loves us. And the reason that I was able to do this trip is because the same God who was loving you all and caring for you here, taking care of my children while I was gone, helping my husband and grandma, was with us in Africa. People, we can't do that. I couldn't be here and love on my kids and share 8,000 miles away at the same time. And I think I truly could stop right there with my testimony. God is good, and he is faithful, and he is amazing. And it was very evident in this week of ministry. So I'm going to just share a tidbit of the joys that I had along the way. This picture here, this one and the next one. Oh, sorry, that's out the window. We had the pleasure of going to a children's home, Arise Africa. They sponsor it, right? This children's home. I mean, that's there. They started this home, and we got to go out and visit this orphanage. There is one little infant that's here, and there used to be five, and four of them were fostered out. So God is moving there. But these little kiddos were just so excited to see us. They sang to us. They recited the scriptures that are being taught to them. which was amazing. And so this is just a little fun day. We really, we went, they ministered to us just as much as we did them. We did have some gifts for them. We got to see their living quarters and the ladies and that care for them there. So this was a super fun day just to get to love on kiddos. This picture, okay, my family can attest to this. I don't sweat. Do I sweat? No. I sweat in Africa. Okay, this was their winter. This was our guard at our guest house. And yes, that is a winter coat that he had on every morning. So I go over to ask him, I was like, can I take your picture? Because it's very respectful to ask if you can take first. And he's like, sure, hold on. And he's trying to take off his coat. I'm like, no, that's what I want, is your coat. So that was just a little fun picture of, yeah, they definitely, the interpreters, we would start in the morning and they'd be like this. And I'm like, are you cold? And they're like, yes. And it's like 80. So just a little perspective of how they feel there. Oh, yeah. We thought the heat in Dubai, which is where we flew into, is it's pretty intense. It was, we flew in Friday night to head home, and it was midnight almost, and it was 97 degrees. And we're not, it was like, it was really hot. So that was just a little fun picture there. One of the things that I did, you can go on to, it should be, yeah, this one. One of the things that I do at home, I scripture journal each day. But while I was in Uganda, one of the things I did, I kept doing my scripture journaling, but I would journal about our day's visit. I am getting older, and it will be forgotten if I don't write it down. And I don't want to forget those moments. And at the end of each journaling day, what I did was I wrote what my takeaways were from that day, which is a little different than what I do here at home. And one of those things, and it kind of goes along with this picture, as you can see, this particular day, I was the nurse at the pastor's conference. One of the things that we ran into while we were there, we weren't just doing medical clinics, but Pastor Jared, Pastor Will, who is from Harriet Baptist in North Carolina, was with us. And then when Jared's dad got into the country, he also did some speaking, but they were ministering to the families, and they weren't all pastors. It was a mixture of people, but they were ministering to them there, which is in that little white tent behind all those people. And so that those people could stay at the conference, feel like they, and not feel like they were missing out on the medical opportunity, a nurse or two would go each day to treat them there. And then we also had our medical clinic in another area. So this day, I am, along with Nurse Sharon, which is a Ugandan nurse, we're treating the patients there at the conference. And as you can see, the line is growing. The people just, they come out of nowhere. Like, I mean, it's amazing. And so one of the things that I wrote as my takeaways from that day that I really need to learn from as well, and I think we in America especially do, is that, all right, where'd it go? Hold on a second. The people in Uganda are patient. And I don't mean they are a patient we're treating. I mean they are patient people. They are patient in the heat. You know, as I think about when we're here in America, and I just thought a lot about how we sit in our doctor's office and 15 minutes may go by and our appointment was at 11, it's 11:15 and we haven't been seen. And, we get a little cranky. 30 minutes roll by and we're getting really irritated. These people, some of them in our heavier attended villages, sat for hours. And they never complained. And when they came to our nurses' stations, they were thanking us for coming. And so it was just a really good example of, to me, is how we should be here in America. They weren't expectant either. They were thankful. And that was such a refreshing thing for me, just to see that in them. And they want to hear. I think that's the next where I'll finish up. They want to hear the gospel. So one of the main things we do, and like Logan, and I will brag on my son. I'm proud of him, one, that he got up here and talked, because that is not his thing. He likes to be behind the scenes. But God has really has, our last night together, I told him how proud I was of him, that he let God use him. Because if you'd seen him the first day that he was there, and you saw him the last 2 days especially, he allowed God to use him. And that's what we're all supposed to do, right? And so he's right. They want to hear about Jesus. And we did, I as well, in one of the gospel stations I had. I had a Muslim. And, you know, I explained what I wanted to do. And I wanted to share Jesus with her. And she allowed me. But she, at that point, did not accept Christ. But then the thing that I wanted to encourage Logan is, too, though, one, it's not our timing. It's the Lord's. And the seed's been planted. You know, there, Muslims, especially in that area, and it was the women that we saw, they're fearful. If they go home, they will be kicked out of their homes. They'll lose everything. And so, anyway, it's a very scary time for them, but they were willing to listen. And so I look at that as a win, because they heard. And that's all we're supposed to do. And we did. And there were Muslims. And even Jared's mom shared with us as an encouragement some years, I don't know how many years, maybe 2 years or so some back, she shared with a Muslim. And she's like, I can't do it. If my husband finds out, you know, I'll be kicked out. And so just the explaining of, you can quietly worship him and pray for your husband to change. And that's what she did. Say 2 years later, and that it might have been a year, but Janet and them came back, and that woman found Janet. And she's like, do you remember me? And she said, I just want you to know the words of encouragement you gave me helped, and my husband now knows the Lord, and we have set that aside. So it's amen. So that's what we desire, is to bring people to know him, to share, and then them accept that personal relationship, to take it as their own. Not because of something we've done, but because of what God has done. Because even for all of us that were there, it was a great group. God was doing the moving and the working. But then you also have the blessing to train. And I always like, especially through World Reach, the great thing is people ask me, once they're saved, you know, what do you all do? Do they just go on about their business and they know the Lord now? And no, they are constantly being followed upon. The Arise Africa team, they go in and they continue to train them and teach them and make sure that they have their questions answered. So it's a constant making sure they're connected into the local pastors there. So we're not just going in and saying, you know Jesus now, praise the Lord, go on, do your thing. No, they are making sure that God's word is implanted, that they fully understand it and grasp it, and that they're equipped to tell it to other people. Because isn't that our goal? Part of the three circles, well, the main, you know, three circles is an easy way of sharing the gospel. But the huge kicker to that is, it's simple for them to take to the next place. So anyway, I had that blessing this past week twice. But this one story before I close, and I'll let Jared take over. I want to share with you all Rachel. And how many of my, Leah, Logan, well, Leah, Brady's not in here, but Leah and Anna, if you'll notice around her neck and on her arm, is the bracelets that you all made. My kids made a bunch of bracelets over the week, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to give them out. You can't just give to one child in a group of 60. It doesn't go well. So I prayed to the Lord, because my kids were like, please take pictures when you give these away. I'm like, Lord, you give me opportunities to give to smaller groups. And he did. And we got rid of all of them, and it wasn't any mass chaos. But this is Rachel. And Rachel first started out in the medical clinic with Kelly. And you'll also see in the back, there's Janet. This is how she's back there teaching the three circles and leading someone to the Lord, hopefully in that corner there. And that's how it looked all around the building in there. But Rachel was brought to me by Ned, one of the guys that hung out with us for a couple of days. And she had been at Kelly's medical clinic station, and she was alone. And so, obviously, not even knowing her age, you can tell that she's young. She looks like Anna, around, you know, a little younger than Leah. And so Kelly was like, so where is your family? And, of course, I didn't hear the whole story, so this is kind of my condensed version. She said that she was there alone, that her mom had passed. And Kelly said, so are you with your dad? And she said, no, that her dad was in prison. And she had said her dad was the reason her mom was no longer with her. Her dad had murdered her mom. And she was living with her grandmother. And as Kelly talked to Rachel, she realized that Rachel knew the Lord. The question she was asking, she knew that she had an eternity with him. So they brought her to my station. She's like, she needs to be able to share with others. And so the next picture, we were able, is it back? It might be back. We were able to teach Rachel the three circles so that she could take it to her grandmother and her friends and help to share the good news. So here you'll see, I'm teaching her the three circles. I did it one time. Well, but before I did that, I did assure and ask her some specific questions to make sure she truly understood and she knew where she was going and that she had that relationship. And I am completely confident that Rachel knows the Lord. So I did it one time with her. You can see I gave her paper and a pen, and she's writing it with me. That is our translator. He was a pastor, but I don't remember his name. But Smooth did call him pastor. He is letting her know what I'm saying. And then I told him, I said, now I want her to teach it to us. Have her tell us back what I just said. And she did it perfectly. I sat there in awe. This little girl, I asked, she's 11. She's 11 years old, living with her grandmother. Her dad is in prison. And her mom is gone, but she has the hope of Jesus. And so it was really encouraging that I could talk to her and let her know in this dark and dire situation she seems to be in, she's not alone. Because she always has her Savior that she can go and talk to. So I am confident. When she left, I had paper and pens. I gave her whatever I had. I said, the great thing about the three circles, you can draw it in the dirt. I mean, it's an easy, simple tool. And so I am confident that Rachel will go out and she will be an ambassador for Christ. And she will reach many for him. So that's a really tiny snippet of my time in Uganda. I am super thankful that I got to do it with one of my kiddos. It was really neat to see Logan outside of our environment here, just working for the Lord. Ugandan buses do not have shocks, by the way. You ever want an amusement park ride experience without going to an amusement park, just go get on a road in Uganda. But speed bumps are everywhere. You can be driving down the road and then boom, there's like four bumps in a row. So But I do want to just say thank you. As I look out among the people that are here today, you all are the reason that Logan and I were able to go. Many of you financially helped us. All of you I know prayed. And prayer is what got us there, allowed us to share, and got us back home safely. It was really good to see my family after 12 days. And like Logan said, we saw 2,400 patients. That's not including multiple of us when we would go back to the guest house. We treated patients there, patients that had come and were waiting for treatment. See, that's the great thing. I got to share this really quick. I'm sorry. That's the great thing about Arise Africa. It's so humbling to see Pastor Godfrey and the staff at Arise Africa. These patients that we saw out in the villages, some of them had they had medical problems that we couldn't help. We could give them medicines to help their pains. I personally had a hydrocephalic baby that mom came to me and she was like, "My baby was born with a normal head, but now it looks like this." And that's where the fluid's on the brain, and it had already started to swell. His little forehead had started to protrude forward. Those babies need help. They need a shunt. They need something to help to drain that fluid. And if they don't get it, if they don't end up dying, there is severe repercussions for their brains. They can't handle that. Arise Africa helped them. Through the help of World Reach and financial assistance, through their two hydrocephalic babies were helped. Praise the Lord, right? Because you know. I had a gentleman, he comes to my bench. He's got one shoe off, one shoe on, and he's, well, flip-flop. They don't wear closed-toed shoes. Oh, He was walking with a cane. And he sat down, and of course, my foot, "Why are you here?" My foot. So I walk around the bench, and I was like, "Let's look at that." And he props his foot up on the bench, and this whole part here was just oozing. I can't even begin to explain it to you. As a nurse here, I hadn't really seen a lot of that. I was delivering babies. The top part of his foot was peeling. We couldn't help that. We can't treat that the way it needed to be in order to heal completely so that he doesn't lose his foot. We gave him antibiotics and things, and I called in Dr. Aaron, and I was like, "I need some assistance. Like, what here can we do?" And, of course, she, too, is like, "That needs to be cleaned elsewhere." We pulled Jared over, and we had the ability. Arise Africa, World Reach, we got the local pastor, and he immediately got to go to a clinic locally to get that cleaned up. And he'll get some reoccurring treatment to clear it up. A little boy with crutches. We had several little boys that had some reproductive issues, hernias and different things that really needed treatments. They got treated. I'm sure there's several others, but it went beyond the treatment there as well. So I just want to share that with you. It was really neat that we didn't have to turn those patients away, us knowing what the outcome was going to be. So thank you all so much.
Thanks. Well, Logan, Penny, thank you guys for answering the call and going. And the Lord, you'd be proud of them. The Lord used them in a really awesome way while they were there. And I told our team while we were there, because the needs in Uganda are unending. I mean, so we could see what we did, we saw over 2,400 patients, but there's 2,400 more just like them right behind them that we weren't able to see. And so in some ways it was overwhelming, because it just, people, when Penny said people keep coming and coming and coming, they literally just don't stop. And so if you didn't just close down a clinic at some time, then you would be there all day and all night, and then people would just continually keep coming as the word began to spread. So I had to encourage our team and say, guys, listen, the tendency will be for you to be discouraged. And you look, when you look about, it's encouraging to see those that we could help, but then there's so many more that we weren't able to. And that's hard. That's hard to be able to pack up your medicines when there's still people there and say, "I'm sorry, we have to go." And you have people there that are waiting and needing to be seen. And that's really, really hard. And so the perspective that we have is the medicine that we're bringing is secondary. The reason that we're going is to take them the message of Jesus, that that's the message that never fades. It never runs out. It's the hope that's eternal. And so when we go, we're going and we're presenting to them hope that's found in Jesus, not hope that's found in antibiotics. And so we do give medicines and we help anything that we can, but acknowledging and understanding the fact that those medicines will run out one day, very soon. Infections may come back or something may happen again. But we're there using that as a tool, as a bridge, to get them to the message of life in Jesus that never fades and never fails and that we'll have for eternal life. And so that you kind of have to have that perspective going in, or you'll leave just overwhelmed and discouraged over the need that is there. One quick report I want to give to you guys. I think one of the most encouraging things to me when I go is seeing how year after year, the fruit of the what have we seen the year before. And so we go, and like last year we went to a village where there was no gospel, there was no church that was there. In fact, it was an area where I told you last year, it was an area where there were known cannibals, and so nobody wanted to go there. I told our team after the fact, after we were there, and they said, appreciate you telling us that. But we were able to start a church there last year. And the church coming that this year is still there, still growing and doing well. Hope Valley had a big part in purchasing land for them so they can begin having their own place to meet and things like that. And so the pastor there wanted to give a quick thank you to our church family. So, Nate, I'm going to skip that first photo, and we're just going to go to this quick video from Pastor Robert, who's the pastor at Calagala Baptist Church that Hope Valley helped plant last year, and they're still going. And this is after the service. Most people have gone. That's actually the church. That's part of the church there that came to visit us one day. But this video will give you just a quick message of thank you from the pastor.
That's okay.
I'm Pastor Robert Masadiage, Calagala Arise Africa Baptist Church. I'm so thankful to the church in the States of
Hope Valley
Church for the support and the encouragement and allowing this team, the missionaries, to come. We really appreciate, because this church is a church plant begun by Pastor Jared on the first day, and today we are also celebrating 1 year in ministry. So we appreciate God for that. Thank you for your prayers, encouragement, and financial support. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's the church that's there. In fact, that room that they were meeting in is about a 15 by 15 size room. And they, on Sunday morning when we gathered, there was about 50 of us gathered in that little 15 by 15 room that they're renting. And so we've helped purchase land for them. I'll give you some reports in the coming days. We're going to have to help them out a little bit more to be able to get their structure completed and put together so they have their own space to meet in that's not a little tiny cramped room. So anyway, thank you, church, for loving us, praying for us, and as we go. Here's what I want to do. I want to share a quick thought, and I want to ask some questions. So the first question I kind of want to help us think through is why do we do missions? Right? We talk about it here a lot. We talk about missions and going, and I think that we should, because that's the command, the commission that Jesus has given to us as his church. So why do we do missions? Why do we go to Uganda? Why did we go this week? And why do we leave, sacrifice time, leaving our families and go? Three specific reasons that I want just for a minute to look at. They're pretty simple, but I think it's a good reminder for us. Why do we do missions? Reason number one is because we love God, because we love Him. Jesus, before He died, He gave us a commission. He gave us a command. He said, go to all the nations, make them disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. He gave us this commission, this command that we call the Great Commission. He also told us in Matthew 22, he said, if you love me, you will what? You'll keep my commandments, right? So Jesus is saying, it's out of love for him that we complete and that we obey his command for the Great Commission. So one reason why we do missions is because we love him. And so as an outflow of our love to God, we want to obey him and live for him and walk with him and share him and proclaim his name throughout the entire earth. So the number one reason we do missions is because we love him. And number two, another reason is because we love people. So when Jesus was asked in Matthew 22 as well, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and love people. So we are on mission because we love God, but we're also on mission because we love people. When we go to Africa, I'm telling you, like Logan talked about, the amazing, like you'll have a hard time meeting anybody in any other country that is kinder and sweeter and more respectful than the Ugandan people. Literally, they'll get down on their knees to greet you and welcome you because they're humbled for us to have us there. And we want to say, no, don't do that. Like, we're not anything special, you know. But they're so unbelievably kind and honoring to us. And so it's easy when you see them to meet them and just have this heart of compassion and love for them. I want to do everything in your power to help and encourage these people. I don't know if you remember, if you know Penn and Teller. Penn and Teller is the magician people that they're on TV and different things. But they're a magician show, and they go do all these magic tricks everywhere. And well, years ago, one of them, I don't remember which one it was, Penn or Teller, but one of them, at the end of one of his shows, somebody came up to him and gave him a Bible. Now, he's a pretty renowned atheist, Penn and Teller. And so the guy gave him a Bible, and he was so moved by this man who gave him the Bible. He actually wrote a little letter in it to him, gave it to him. And he was so moved by that he posted a video on YouTube later just talking about how it impacted him. And he said, and here's what he said. He said, now you guys know that I'm an atheist. I don't believe any of this. He said, but this man loved me enough to come and tell me about his God, about Jesus. He said, as he started thinking through it, he started processing. He said, so then I began to wonder, how much do you have to hate someone to believe that there's a hell and not warn people about it? Think about it. How much do you have to hate someone to believe that there's a hell and not warn them about it? And so when we go, why mission? Because we love God and because we love people. And because God's not willing that anyone should perish. Not anyone in Africa, not anyone in Asia, not anyone in America, not anyone in South America, not anyone in Cuba, not anyone in Haiti, not anyone in Canada, not anyone in China. Like, he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And so we go. And so we go and we take the life-changing message of Jesus wherever we can. When the doors are open, we're going to go. And so at Hope Valley, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about missions. We're going to give to missions. We're going to go on mission. And we're not going to apologize for it. And we're going to keep doing it. Like, that church talks a lot about missions. Yeah, because that's what God has called us to do and who he's called us to be. So we're going to go and we're going to take the message of Jesus. So why we do missions? We go because we love him. We go because we love people. And then thirdly, we do missions because he's worthy. Because he is worthy. John Piper once said that missions exist because worship doesn't. Here's what he meant by that. The God of the universe is worthy of all worship from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. And because right now, as it stands on earth, that every single person in the world does not worship him, so then we go on mission. In other words, one day, missions is not going to happen anymore. Right? One day in heaven, at the end of all time, when Jesus returns for his people and the culmination has taken place, there won't be missions anymore. And so until that time, we go because he's worthy. Now, I want you to look in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I want you to read this. It's an amazing passage of Scripture as we consider the God who created us and his worthiness of all praise and all honor and all glory. Look at Revelation 1, chapter 4, verse 11. So, John has been, God is basically giving him a vision, a picture in the throne room of heaven. So he's setting it up and he's saying, okay, John, come with me. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. I'm going to show you what's about to take place. And as he does, he gives John this vision. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." In other words, you created all things, and everything will worship and honor and glorify you. Chapter 5, then he continues, and it says that John is, there's this scroll that gets brought before him, this sort of title to the earth, and they says, is there anyone who's worthy to open up this scroll? And they look around and nobody's worthy. And so John says he begins to weep because there's nobody found worthy to open this scroll. And then one of the elders says, there is one. There is one who is worthy. And it says John looks and he sees a lamb as if it had been slain, standing beside the throne of God. And you see it's Jesus, the Son of God, who gave his life for the ransom of all men. And you see Jesus is there. And then you see the elders and they come and they bow down before the Lamb of God who was slain. And they began to sing a new song. Look at chapter 5, verse 9. The song that they sing is this. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and nation. You have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Worthy are you, O Lord." One day, it's a picture of what's going to happen when we're going to stand before God one day and we're going to be all around the throne and we're going to fall on our face before God and we're going to worship and say, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God." That's going to be a beautiful picture. Now, we got to be careful because, and I'm going to say this as gently as I can, it's not going to look like this. It's not going to look like this. If you've ever been in a room where there was more people from other nations than there are your own, if you've ever been in a room and you were uncomfortable with the fact that you were surrounded by others that were from different nationalities and you were uncomfortable with that, then you're not going to like heaven. Because heaven is going to be people from every tribe and every language and every tongue. And just newsflash, there's more of them than there are Americans. Just to be clear. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing as we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." So we do missions because he's worthy of our worship. And so we go to Africa and we go to China and we go to Burma and we go to Haiti and we go to Montreal, and we go to West Virginia, and we go to North Carolina. We go on mission because he's worthy of the worship of every single person. I want you to watch the video. This is going to be a video. It's going to give you a snapshot of our trip. But also listen to the song. Listen to the words of the song. You've heard it, and you'll be familiar with it. But reflect on some things that we saw the Lord do as we listen to "Worthy is our Lamb." worship team, you guys can come on up. We're gonna close our service in a time of honor and worship to our Lord. I don't know when you come to a service like this and you see videos like that. I'm not sure what stirs in your heart. Maybe it's just encouragement to see God working all around the other side of the world. A lot of times it's easy to get kind of caught up in our own little bubble, and to think that everything is just right here when our God is so much bigger than that, and He's doing things all around the earth. I don't know if maybe it's conviction in your heart, stirring in your heart, saying, I think God's calling me to that. Maybe that's something that you're afraid of. Maybe it's something that you've even run from. And so I think God's calling me to go, but I'm a little bit afraid of that call. Maybe this morning is an opportunity for you just to surrender that to the Lord and say, God, it's not about me being scared or afraid or feeling inadequate or feeling like I can't go. It's just a matter of me surrendering and saying, You're worthy of it. And so I'm here I am. Send me. So maybe that's your prayer this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing together. And again, my prayer is that it wouldn't just be words. It would just be a song from the bottom of our heart to a God who is worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship and all of our devotion. So will you pray with me? Jesus, we confess this morning that You are worthy of it all. Lord, I thank You and honor You and bless You for what You did this past week in Uganda. But not just in Uganda, what You did all throughout the world. And Lord, even as we're gathering right now, believers from all over the world have already gathered today and will continue to sing Your praises and to give honor to Your name. Lord, I pray right now that if there's somebody in this room that You're tugging on their heart, maybe they've resisted for so long, and today is the day when they need to yield their life to You. Maybe it's a time where they just need to surrender their life to You for the first time and claim You as King and surrender to You as Lord and become a child of God. Maybe that's the decision. Maybe for someone else, they've resisted for a while, and today's the day when they need to commit their life to You afresh. Lord, whatever that is, I pray that You, by Your Spirit, would move and penetrate in our hearts, and that we would sing. Lord, that we would sing a song that would be honoring to You, that we would live a life of worship that glorifies Your name above our own and above any other name. So we thank You, God. You are worthy this morning. We bless and worship Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.